Let's get healthy, shall we? Joining us now for one of his occasional visits from Integrated Holistic Health, Dr. Peter Van Hule. I was thinking about you this morning, Dr. Van Hule, because
he thinks of you every morning.
Yes, I do. And in the Tribune today, there was a column, a humorous column by someone named Chris Erskine, and the headline was, "Adieu to the Egg White Omelet, the Yolk Was on Us." And he goes on to say that the egg white omelet, America's reigning symbol of bland dining and misguided nutritional advice, died on a recent Friday. It was 42. And, of course, this refers to the fact that an advisory panel of health experts told the federal government recently that cholesterol is no longer a nutrient of concern, they said. And once again, Dr. Van Hule, you were way ahead of your time. Because
10 years ago when you were telling us this.
You've been talking about the fact that... Well, you said that the cholesterol number we were all hung up on really was not something to focus on, correct?
Right. It has to do with the breakdown of the cholesterol and what ultimately it comes down to is large particles, small particles, how sticky they are, et cetera, et cetera.
And we kind of oversimplified it, or the science was oversimplifying it.
Well,
our guidance was wrong.
Yeah, the whole, it looks... I think we're going to talk about this, but the whole food thing is becoming more and more complex because, for one thing, I read this morning that compared to 1970, we're ingesting 25% more calories, 23 point something. So already there, we're ingesting more calories. But then, yeah, I think it used to be like probably like in the 70s, if you wanted to lose weight, it was a case of, okay, you need to cut down on the volume of food you're eating, you know, eat a little less bacon and donuts and stuff like that. Now,
unless you were Dr. Atkins.
Well, right. Well, but that was bacon. Later than the
right.
70s. But now, even with small portions, it's not so much about only just how much we're eating, but what we're eating and those ingredients. And so even when you're talking things like eggs, are these eggs that are walking around picking at worms and seeds that they find, or are these eggs that never see the light of day and are being fed genetically engineered corn? So those eggs can also make a difference which you're eating.
Because those eggs can make you fat? Is that what you're saying?
Well,
like, are foods that have those kinds of ingredients also making us gain weight?
What they're doing is they're messing with how our genes are getting expressed. And it's not from one, it's not from two, kind of like with smoking. You know, how many cigarettes do you need to smoke for it to tip the scale? And that, of course, then has to do with your individual, you know, we all know the grandpa who smoked his whole life and never got cancer. Well, but, you know, but most aren't like that. So, you know, there's an interaction between the buildup of the lung, you know, how often and for how long you take in these chemicals, and then when your own individual genetic makeup and what you can withstand and what you can't. Yeah.
And the story that Marianne and I were talking about earlier when we mentioned that you were going to come in today, the issues surrounding GMOs, genetically modified organisms, have never been simple, and they became more complicated last week when the International Agency for Research on Cancer declared that the active ingredient in the widely used herbicide Roundup probably causes cancer in humans. And two other insecticides were also classified as probable carcinogens by the agency, a respected arm of the World Health Organization. So what do we make of all this?
Well, and you know, they always err on caution when they say probable. You know, it's like they do 10 studies that show something, and then they say, well, but the research isn't fully out yet. You know, I mean, yes, we know this has already been well-known, well-researched. And so the problem with this glyphosate is that...
And glyphosate being an ingredient in Roundup?
Correct. And so, right, this is kind of important because it's not just something that they spray on the super, you know, that you could say, well, I wash my salad before I eat it. No, this is on the inside of the seed. So it's, you can't get around it if you're eating this. So again, what it does... And I'm not going to give you the whole scientific jargon on this, but it basically interferes with several pathways in the liver, the cytochrome P450 pathways that are important for detoxifying our own hormones, our own our chemicals that we ingest, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, again, it's one of these things that is a ticking time bomb. And
What do I avoid? What do I not eat? What should I look for in the grocery store?
I mean, is this the reason that you need to eat organic as much as possible because everything is sprayed with Roundup?
Well, basically, I think that's the point. The guy in the article in the New York Times.
This is an opinion piece in the New York Times today. It's called Stop Making Us Guinea Pigs.
Yeah. So he's basically saying, yeah, at this point, the only choice you have is to just go organic. Because there's also, I also heard that supposedly today somebody's trying to propose a new law to not or to interfere with the GMO labeling. In other words, somebody's proposing that none of the states would be allowed to label GMO. And it's one of these things where why, you know, if GMO is so good for you, why put it on the package? Then
yeah,
you can choose to have it if you want to.
You know? I don't understand that whole debate. Why why does the government or major companies not want Monsanto, for example, why does Monsanto not want things labeled GMO when they are GMO?
And Monsanto makes Roundup.
Yes. So that's I think that's a good question to ask them.
look at this bag of potato chips I just bought here. It's it says
just for show, right?
Non-GMO project verified, certified, gluten-free. And you're starting to see this on all kinds of foods now. Does this make a difference? I mean, should I feel better about eating this bag of potato chips?
Well, I would say there's another way that you can think about it making you feel better is in terms of what you're doing to the environment. Because all those pesticides in our environment are also going to have much more long-term consequences in terms of the runoff and what we're putting in the soil. And I don't know if you saw the article about our high arsenic levels and cheaper wines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the same thing. So eventually, from now on, the question is who's minding the chicken coop, right? and that's really what's kind of scary is because I want to give a little shout out to the movie Bought, B-O-G-H-T, that was co-produced by a medical doctor here of the Chicago area, and basically kind of looking at how the FDA, the chemical industry, and the pharmaceutical industry are really kind of one big, you know. As a matter of fact, I found out that Michael Taylor, who's the appointed Deputy Secretary of Food Safety, he used to be the lawyer for Monsanto, who helped to block the labeling of BST, bovine growth hormone.
And the movie, this is a documentary,
yes.
Bought?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I want to see that.
How do you see that? It's probably available on Netflix.
It will be available on Amazon, but I think if you just Google it, it'll...
Yeah, I Googled it the other day. I didn't have time to watch the whole thing, but I really do want to see the movie, Bought. And then, the chemical that is in Roundup is called glyphosate.
Glyphosate.
Is that in other things too?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact.
So what is it in?
So here's another thing. They just changed. So you remember all the problems with, you know, high fructose corn syrup. Well, they just decided that they would start calling everything just fructose.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, fructose could be high fructose corn syrup or it could be something else. The difference is high fructose corn syrup, it's genetically engineered. Certain kinds of sugar are coming from genetically engineered sugar beets. So, in other words, if it comes from cane sugar, that's a different story because at this point, cane sugar is not genetically engineered. So
there goes the problem is that we can't even know, you know, according to some of these laws, and none of this happens in other countries. I mean, we are pretty much the only country that is duped
hence the title Stop Making Us Guinea Pigs is the other countries have this
it's probable
the precautionary principle the, sorry I forgot
okay
so, so the precautionary principle basically says show us that something is safe and then we'll approve it, whereas here it's more like, you know, well, if there's a problem with it after it's been approved, then we'll take it off the market.
Well, right. Let's get into some of the other side of this argument. And it was the conclusion of a report from Australia's National Health and Medical Research Council saying basically that some of this kind of thinking is totally useless. We'll talk about that with Dr. Peter Van Huyl of Integrated Holistic Health right after this. Continuing with Dr. Peter Van Huel of Integrated Holistic Health, we mentioned a couple minutes ago something that was written recently online pointing to a report from Australia's National Health and Medical Research Council and basically taking issue with homeopathic preparations, these natural cures, if you will. And there are still some people who, should we say, don't believe in homeopathy.
I would say don't understand.
Don't. Yeah. Okay.
What
so don't.
What
first of all,
are people?
Explain what it is.
What are people missing? Yeah. What is it? And what do people miss about this?
Right. Well. Actually, the FDA is also going to do a more investigative kind of meeting around homeopathy, because the problem is too is that, and I see this with patients. Patients say, "Oh yeah, I bought this thing. It's homeopathic." And then when they bring it in to show me, no, it's not homeopathic. They're herbs. So I think the labeling of homeopathy also gets a little vague. So
okay, so what is it? What is homeopathy?
Well, basically, the key principle behind homeopathy is that in order to, you know, the selection of a remedy to treat a particular disease in a sick individual should be determined by its ability to actually induce that same kind of disease or symptoms in a healthy individual. So, in other words, think about radiation. We all know that radiation exposure is cancerous, right?
Right.
Like, you know, from
there's
atom
no doubt
bombs,
about that.
Et cetera.
Right.
And yet, we use radiation to treat cancer.
So then...
Right? So, in other words, so the same... So, for example, I think I might have mentioned this
on
the air at one point.
Well, that's how vaccines work, right?
Well, so take, for example, coffee. What happens if you drink 5 cups of strong coffee? You might get a little jittery. You might start shaking a little bit. You might get a headache. You probably won't sleep well tonight. You maybe get some palpitations. Well, so if a patient comes in with those symptoms, even if they never drink coffee, the homeopathic remedy, coffee, would be a remedy that you would choose or might choose to help with just those symptoms. So in other words, when you now take this remedy, you take coffee, you take basically homeopathic remedies can be made from chemical substances, from animal, plant substances, but even like from venoms of spiders and snakes and things like that. And so the very symptoms that they might, belladonna is another example. So if you can get belladonna poisoning, you would have fevers and inflammation and things like that. Now, if you take this, the mother tincture, that is prepared in various ways depending on the substance. And now you're going to go through a process of what they call potentization, which is diluting and succussing. It's important to understand both because it's not just diluting something, it's the succussion. So in other words, the succussion is where you basically create a frequency imprint of the substance into the water. We all know that water carries memories. That's been proven by a French doctor who's Nobel Peace Prize for medicine in the 1980s. Anyway, so as you keep imprinting this remedy at some point and diluting it, you're going to go beyond a certain number, Avogadro's number, 10 to the 23rd. If you go beyond that, you will no longer be able to find a chemical trace in the water imprint, but you will be able to find energetic trace. So the problem with some homeopathic remedies is people say, oh, it's just water. Well, chemically, yes, it's just water. But if you check it with radionic equipment, you will find that it has a wave pattern that will be equivalent to water, to coffee or to belladonna or to whatever substance it's made of.
So is it too simplistic to say that when you're using homeopathic remedies, it seems like it's a similar idea as using a vaccine because you're using the same...
It works differently.
It works differently, okay.
Yeah. But there is also actually what we call homeoprophylaxis, which is using homeopathic remedies to help the body to prevent even getting the types of disease that they're making vaccines for.
You're listening to Extension 720. I'm Dr. Milton Rosenberg. So you mentioned that patients will come in and they'll show you something they're taking, allegedly a homeopathic something or other pill, and then you'll look at it and you'll say, no, that's not homeopathic. So what can we look for if we go to a health food store? Is there something on the label that's a giveaway?
Well, we do have a couple of stores in the greater Chicago area that are homeopathic pharmacies. So, you know, in Europe, homeopathic remedies are sold in pharmacies, and the pharmacists have to study homeopathy because they have to know what they're selling. So we don't have that here. And
so we have separate stores. You can't get it at like Walgreens. You can't get it at
CVS. Well, you
CVS.
Can actually. I think there are certain, that's the whole problem. Now there are homeopathic remedies are kind of expanding. People are, you know, mixing them with other things, and it's being sold as a homeopathic remedy, and there's not enough regulation to actually look at that. So, but if you, for the consumer out there, you want to go either to, you know, at Whole Foods, obviously they sell these as well. But if you're going to work with a homeopath, which is really what you should do in the first place, and he's going to write down a particular remedy for you to get, then that's the best way to go about it.
Dr. Peter Van Uhl, Integrated Holistic Health. It's interesting, and the more information you get, the more complicated it seems, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, the information is there to be used to our advantage.
It's confusing, but, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and when in doubt, you know, play it safe. And that's the Hippocratic Oath is, you know, at first do no harm. And at least with homeopathic remedies, if a patient were to take the wrong remedy, sometimes I get a phone call from a parent who says, oh, my child took that little whole tube and swallowed it down. It's like, okay, well, give them a piece of chocolate or give them a little bit of coffee or something, and that'll negate the remedy, and that's the end of it.
Do you ever read that column? What's it called? The People's Pharmacy? Do you know that column? It's been written for years by, I think the guy's name is Graydon, and it's all about certain natural remedies.
Okay.
And I've been paying attention to it lately. It's kind of interesting to read about these remedies from people all over the country. It's very interesting what you get from people, and some of these have been passed down through generations.
Yeah.
And yeah. I guess you can't discount some of these, even though they sound a little crazy.
Well, I mean, you know, homeopathy is really pretty much used worldwide. We all know that the royals of the English court has been using homeopathy for a long time. Actually, Prince Charles, I know, you know, is a big proponent of homeopathy. And so there's a lot of, you have to understand, Bob, that homeopathic remedies can't be patented. They're fairly cheap to make and to produce. So this is kind of threatening to, let's just say, perhaps an industry mm-hmm. that feels like this is competitive to.
Yeah,
you know?
And there you go. That's the problem. So let's watch the movie Bought and then compare notes after that.
Yeah, let's do that.
Thanks, Dr. Van Uhl.
Thank you.
To be continued. Talk to you soon.